You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. Giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Please be seated. If you're our guest today, we'd like to invite you to tear out the little form that's in the heart publication, place it in the offering plate so we can get to know you. And tomorrow is our first Monday for our men's prayer breakfast at Berry Fresh, 8 o'clock. So I want to encourage you guys to come and pray with us. There's been several times we've actually anointed some of the men with oil, Wesson, and olive oil, and prayed for them, and we've seen God really extend his hand and do some things to bless some of our men, and that's been really exciting. And so I want to encourage you guys to come have breakfast with us, and you can, you need to, and we have a sweet time together. I want to invite you to be a part of our life groups. Come and get to know the church in a smaller venue and get to know people in a more intimate way. I've had people through the years say, I did not have real friends at church until I got involved with a life group and got to know some people in a more intimate way with our fellowships and things that we do. Men's and ladies' Bible studies are coming up. That information's also in the heart. I want to encourage you to get the books in the lobby if you don't have them. We're continuing from the books we used last fall. We did half of the study last fall. We're doing the other half this spring. And so I want to encourage you to grab those if you don't have a book. And they're in the lobby. And then also, young adults and young adult two, the two young adult classes have a life group picnic next Sunday, right after church at Shepherd Park. I'm going to cook hot dogs, beefy tube steaks, and so I want to encourage y'all to come. There's also, we're going to be fishing again if you'd like to do some fishing. We did one of those not too long ago and had a wonderful turnout, and everybody enjoyed that. So I want to encourage you to be with that. Senior adult luncheon coming up. Theme is Forever Young. Say that with me, Forever Young. On the count of three. One, two, three. Forever young. Okay, forever young. And if you feel old right now, just wait. When Jesus comes back, you'll be young again. So he will retread us. And then dinner and devotions, along with Awanas and youth, our menu on here is tacos. So we're having tacos this week. Come make a taco and get in the Word with us for a little bit. And again, joy to be your pastor. Thanks.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's with a thankful, grateful heart that we bow before your throne in humble prayer. Tell you we love you and give thanks, Lord. Father, we thank you for the beginning of a new year, Lord. We ask, just pray that it be the year of the Lord on it, that there'll be a revival this year that's like a refining fire amongst your people on it, Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on each one here, Lord, the church family, our staff, our missionaries, Lord, and most of all on our country, Lord, and our leaders, that you'll bless them and lead them in the direction you would have them go. We thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. Be with Dr. Armin as he brings a message you put on his heart, Lord. We thank you for him and his love for you. Father, just bless these tithes and these offerings, that they be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, praise team. We want to dismiss our children for Children's Church. So how many of you have already broken some of your resolutions? I saw they flashed this on television this week, and they said that 60% of people with resolutions will fail them in some way or another by January 9th. January 9th. And then I've known this in the workout industry. I've been a member of several gyms, and they say all of those that get gym memberships, that 60% of them will not come back in the gym after 6 weeks. So month and a half, bye-bye. They're gone. And so a lot of times these things, you know, we have good intentions, but we don't necessarily follow through. And so I know I'm wiser now than to make a resolution that I'm not going to eat any carbs this year, because I absolutely cannot keep that. Me and carbs, we're buds. We're like this. So I want to share with you the keys to accomplishing God's will for your life in 2026, in this year. And if you've got your Bible, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to begin in verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, and if anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. And so we see here in the scriptures the Apostle Paul talking about, and if there's ever been an accomplished Christian to live on earth, all would agree that he was number one. And number one, wrote half of the New Testament, literally suffered through what should have been several capital punishments, shipwrecked in the sea for overnight, washes ashore, gets bit by a poisonous viper, stoned, beaten, imprisoned, all of these things. And yet, in spite of all that, and then starting the Church of Jesus Christ for the very first time in cities throughout Asia Minor, as he traveled. And so he says, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. And so one of the things that you and I need to be aware of is we need to avoid complacent satisfaction regarding our life thus far. We need to not be satisfied and be complacent about the life we've lived thus far for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to say, you know, I've not accomplished yet. I'm not done yet. I don't care if you're 85, 95. We've got several in our church membership right now that are north of 95 years old. But they should not be complacent. They should still be praying, still be witnessing, still be tithing, still be living, still be giving, still be serving. We don't retire from the body of Christ and the kingdom of Christ. And so I'd like to share a couple of passages with you. Isaiah 53, verses 18 and 19. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. And God says, in spite of what's happened in your life, I'm going to still make a new path for you. I'm going to make a new path through the wilderness, rivers of moisture and blessing and refreshment in the desert. And I'm going to extend my influence through your life. And so we need to avoid that. Today in our life group, we had a passage that I'd like you to look at with me, Luke chapter 12. And here we see a very familiar parable from the Lord Jesus dealing with complacency. Luke 12, beginning in verse 16. And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' And he said, 'This is what I'll do.'" And there's my throughout it. "I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" In other words, go into retirement. "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared?'" That's pretty strong when God calls you a fool. Now, fool, we think that word means stupid or lacking in intelligence. And the Hebrew word nabal, actually that word means very intelligent, but willfully stubborn and operating not out of that wisdom and intelligence. The word, it does not mean your deficit in your intellect. Fool. Because, I mean, this man had achieved such great things, and he was making plans. You know, "I'm going to build a bigger barn, and I'm going to have a bigger harvest, and things are going to go bigger, and things are going to go better." And he's doing that, but he's complacent about where he is, and he doesn't realize that that night God was going to call for him. We've seen that. I mean, one of our very popular deacons, Gary Porter, went to be with the Lord last year. And he was struggling physically for years. Years. I mean, he took oxycodone, hydrocodone twice a day for like 20 years to deal with his pain, his sciatic nerve pain and all that. And yet, he's walking through the house and falls and hits his head and dies and goes to be with the Lord. And I mean, when he got up that morning, he didn't think today. He knew he was fighting physical things, but he did not know, "I'll be in eternity tonight." We just don't know. We really don't know. And in Scripture, he talks to us about a complacency in our life and how we're to not be satisfied with where we are in serving God and serving Christ. Secondly, we see in our passage that we're to exercise amnesia over our failures of the past. We're to exercise amnesia. He says that in the second part of verse 13. "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind." Forgetting what lies behind. Our past can be an anchor that holds us down in the present. And what's interesting is today, in this service, in the presence of God Almighty and His Spirit, you could leave this service today with all of your past left behind. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that you might not need to do some other things. You might need to make some calls. You might need to write a letter. You might need to make some restitution. You might need to make a confession. But you today can make a decision to leave your past behind today, to bury it today, and to leave here a free person. And so we see this idea that in Luke chapter 9, Luke 9, verse 62. Did you know there are many verses in Luke chapter 9? Verse 62. This is the last verse. But Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." And so one of the things about the past is it is the past. And of course, the old cliche that's kicked around a lot says that it's called the present because it's a gift. And so right now, today, whatever's happened in your past, whatever failures you've had, whatever mistakes you've made, whatever sins you've committed, you can bury those. You can give them to God. You can get released from them. And you can walk away from here free. And so this is a very powerful thing, walking out of church free today. Then thirdly, we're to exercise amnesia over our victories of the past. And this again is in our verse 13. "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind." And the lying behind is not just the bad. It can be the good. It can be the victories. I don't know how many times I've been around men in church life who are trying to relive their past. They're trying to, especially when we had the softball teams. I organized around a half a dozen softball leagues in Broward County when I was pastor down there for Christian church softball leagues. And I don't know how many of these guys were trying to relive the glory days they never had. You know, I'm the greatest softball player ever, and yet didn't make the baseball team in their high school. The guys talking about how great they are in basketball at the YMCA. You know, I did. I played basketball for two colleges. And yet, you know, they're coming on to me. You know, "I think I could, you know, beat you one-on-one." Well, yeah, I'm 69 years old and overweight. I'm not dunking the basketball anymore. In fact, a while back, I tried to get the net, and I had trouble touching it. But, you know, this the victories of the past, you know. And it doesn't matter who. You could be one of the most awarded. You could be Tiger Woods. You could be Jack Nicklaus. You know, you could be Mahomes. You could be whoever and have a trophy room at home full of trophies. And yet all of that's still the past. Tiger's not actively competing anymore on the – he can't – they're saying he won't win another Masters. Of course, I don't know if they should say that or not about him. But, you know, he's got all the health problems and all that, and he's older now. Age makes levels all of them, except if they're an NFL quarterback. Then they can come back. Philip Rivers, retired for 3 years, kind of pot-bellied, trying it again. But he's quitting again right now. And so we forget the victories of the past. I want to commend, and I was really proud, Kim and I, and excited, saw the Weatheralls come into church. And their daughter, Cassidy, I'm still going to call her a member. Is she still a member? She's still a member here. And I've been fishing with her and her dad and her grandpa, so I call her a fishing buddy. And Cassidy was on a national country show competition called The Road. 12 of them started, chosen from all over the nation, songwriter performers in country music. And Cassidy was the last girl standing. She went through the whole show, the whole series, and in the last one, she came in third. But it shocked the two guys that were first and second. They were shocked because they thought Cassidy won every show they announced a winner. She won 5 shows in a row out of the 12, the 11, the 10, the 9. Who won? Cassidy won. Cassidy won. Cassidy won. She won all of them, and then they quit announcing them because I guess they got tired of announcing Cassidy. you know, the last two or three, they didn't even announce her, but she came in third. But that's still the past. And it's interesting that some of them that win these shows, you never hear from them again. And then some of them that come in third, fourth, fifth, or whatever, get tremendous careers. And I want you to pray for Cassidy, for God to use her as a real witness for him and to share Jesus. But we need to forget the past, whether it's a failure or whether it's a victory. We need to set those aside. And he says we're to put that behind us. Jesus said, don't look back. Look ahead. We can only affect ahead. We can't really affect behind. And so we see these two forms of amnesia, over our failures, over our victories. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. All. How many is all? Wouldn't you say that's quite a few of them? It's total. All things become new. And so we see this idea, extending our life forward to accomplish for the future. This comes up. And we see that we're to extend our lives. And again, in chapter verse 13 of our chapter, and he says, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. The idea of that is the term stretching for the tape. Stretching for the tape. How many races have we seen where the front two or three runners are neck and neck and they get to the tape and one of them throws their chest out and touches the tape microseconds before the second one and wins the race? The little bit, all the effort, every little bit of effort, reaching forward, reaching forth for the tape to win. I saw one of the touchdowns in one of the bowl games, and the runner was flying through the air toward the goal and extended the ball with his arm. His legs landed on a defender, so he wasn't down yet. And just before his elbow touched, which would have made him down, the nose of the ball before the stripe crossed over the front of the line, and they gave him a touchdown. That's stretching forth. That's stretching forth. God wants us to stretch forth. Why don't you this year, let's put extra effort in for Christ, for the church, for the kingdom of God. And one of the stretches I want to give y'all today, I want every one of us, if you're willing, to pray that God fills this sanctuary this year. It is a crying shame that we're not influencing more people for Christ. And along with that, I want to ask you if you'll make a commitment, and not a big, maybe a minimum stretch, not nose over the goal line, but maybe at least your arm over the goal line. Make a commitment to invite someone who's unchurched and work on one a month, one person or one family a month, to try to get them to come. And if they won't, shake the dust off your feet and go get another one for the next month. And let's go after the unchurched people. Let's go after the people that aren't going to church. Go after the worst ones in your neighborhood. You say, oh my gosh, I couldn't begin to do that. You will be shocked how receptive they'll be, because nobody's going after them. The ugliest, the roughest, go after them. And let's make a commitment. We're going to pray every day. God, fill our church. God, fill our church. God, let our church, the gates of hell, not prevail against it. Let's fill our church for the glory of God, with lost people, seeking people, baby Christians, saved people. I mean, God bless the other people in the other churches, but they're already in church. Let's go get some that aren't. I've shared this before, but I love it, and I will share it again as I do. My first church down in Hollywood, two houses down from Gardens Baptist Church, was the Burke family. These people were rough. They were so rough that wild animals would run around their yard. That's how rough they were. Kevin was a tattooed man from his wrist to the top of his neck to his waist, everywhere. He had tattoos in his armpits. He did. He had been a biker. I mean, a wallpapered man. Couple of teeth missing. He had the headless horseman etched on the back of his pickup truck window. Everything about him screamed, "I'm crazy violent, and I'm a madman." And he had four kids, had a beautiful wife, blonde-haired wife, Georgia. And they lived two houses down from the church. And so I moved in, Kim and I, the kids, into the pastorium four houses down from the church. So I'd walk by their house every day to the church back and forth. And so the first time I met Kevin, the dad, Kevin Burke, he said, "Well, preacher, I'll have you know that the preacher before you, I grabbed him by his tie and jerked him around and told him what's up." He said that to me. And I love Jesus, and I'm not a striker. I haven't hit anybody since I got saved. But I was about to make an exception. So I just stepped up almost right to his face. And I said, "Kevin," I'm looking down on him, "I wouldn't try that with me. I haven't always been a Christian." And he looks up at me and said, "Don't think I will." So he kind of backed up a little bit. So we were getting off to the right start. You know, a little bit of respect. And so I'm witnessing to him. We're there 7 years. And I'm witnessing to him, working on him for several years. One time I'm walking by his truck. He's sitting on the tailgate with his middle son. And I walk by there. And he had a tall boy, a tall beer, and he hid it behind him. Well, I thought that was a good sign. At least he was feeling shameful about it. So he hid it behind him. And I come by, I'm talking to him, them sitting on the tailgate. And I said, "Kevin, you know, you want to know what Bobby wants to be able to tell everybody?" And he said, "What's that, preacher?" "He wants to tell everybody that his dad is a man of God." So Kevin looks at me and he says, "Bobby, tell the preacher what I tell you all the time." And Bobby says, "I don't know what you tell me all the time." He says, "I tell you to believe in God." "You never tell me to believe in God." He turned from his tattoos up. He flushed out red. He was embarrassed. Well, a couple of years after that, Georgia was tired of his abuse and his violence and anger, and she was going to leave him. And Kevin came down to the pastorium to my house, knocked on the door, and said, "Preacher, I need help. George is going to leave me and take the kids." I said, "I'll be glad to. Let's meet down in my office." And so I went down to the office. George and Kevin came in. And we're sitting there. And I'll never forget those big muscular tattooed arms, tight t-shirt on, crying, dripping tears on the floor in my office. And George said, "I'm sick of it. I'm not putting up with this anymore." And he said, "I need God, I need help, I need everything." And in tears, Kevin prayed to receive Christ. Amen? And so I said, "Your first step of obedience is to follow the Lord in believers' baptism." So this was like a Thursday or whatever, is near the end of the week. So Sunday, I go into the baptistry, and here's Kevin with a gown on, and these tattooed arms and necks sticking out of a white gown. It was glorious. It was glorious. And baptized him. You and I need to recognize that God wants us to stretch on, and he wants us to extend ourselves. He wants us to stretch for the tape. I want to tell you, there's nobody around you that's not reachable. I want to tell you that there's none of your neighbors or family or friends that God can't reach. I've had people, members, come in my church and call their daughter, like a grown daughter, a middle-aged daughter that they've been trying to win for decades, and witness to them over the phone in another state, and then break into tears crying and pray to receive Christ. I've seen people repent when we've witnessed to them, and I've witnessed to them where they've had a spouse praying for them for decades. One lady over 40 years, and her husband gave his life to Christ. Please, I promise you, on your deathbed or in the rapture or in the car wreck or whenever you go, however you go, that you will be grateful for this if you do it. Pray for God to fill our church, and then try to reach at least one person or family once a month. I mean, you could leave here today, go home or go have lunch, you and your spouse, your kids or whatever, and say, who do we want to go for first? Make a list. Pray for them, everybody on the list, and then pick them off. Go after them for Jesus. And try to reach them for Christ. Stretch for the tape. Stretch it out. Stretch the ball out. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So anything in your life that's cooling your heart toward Christ, anything in your life that's distracting you from the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, from evangelism, soul winning, witnessing, reaching people, whatever it is, get rid of it. It's an encumbrance. It's an entanglement. It's something that's going to get in the way of you serving our Lord. And you need to set it aside and stretch for the tape. Reach. Extend the ball to the goal line to win for Christ. And then finally, we see we're to exert ourselves to achieve the calling God has given you in Christ. And again, this is in verse 14 of our passage. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 12, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Exert yourselves to achieve the calling that God has called you to. Romans 8:28, probably most of you memorized this. How many of you memorized it? For all things work together of those. You can cheat and read it right up there. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Steve Jobs was one of the first super uber billionaires from the internet economy and all that. Founder of Apple and a renovator. In fact, he retired for a little bit and Apple started going down and they called him back. And then he came out with some more products and more things with Apple. And what's interesting, at a young middle age, really, here he is, one of the billionaires of the world, one of the wealthiest men in the world. And when he was dying, he wrote something that sounded like something that Solomon would have wrote. And I didn't run a copy of it and bring it to read it to you, but in jest, it said basically, I've been able to travel any way I wanted to. I could travel first class, private jet, my own jet. And one of the things I found out if I was in first class is that the plane got there the exact same time for us and for everybody in coach. And that some of the beverages were the same, some of the food was similar, you know. And he said, then I found out that I've driven the most expensive cars in the world. But what's funny is I see people passing me in beat up old used cars. And their air conditioner works and their radio works and they get there the same way I do. And he said, then I found out that by acquiring and accumulating billions, thousands of millions of dollars, I can't extend my life. I'm terminal. I'm going to die. And now food has become medicine. I could eat any food in the world. I could eat it every day. I could eat every meal, but I don't have an appetite to eat any of it. And now I'm eating plain, blasé food. It just went like that over and over again, each of these things in life. Each of these things. And you and I need to recognize that we've got a lot to be grateful for, like we sang earlier. We've got a lot of provision in our lives. And for the most part, all of us here can pretty much eat whatever we want to. I did see a reel on McDonald's French fries, and I'm never eating them again. Under the microscope. No, 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 no. Don't buy me any more McDonald's fries. They are nasty. They got junk in them. They're awful. But we see in our life that we've got these things in our life, and we need to prioritize them. We need to be intentional about it in living for the Lord Jesus. And so I want to ask you, how many of you will make a commitment to start praying for God to fill our church to the brim? Raise your hands right now. Amen. How many of you will make a commitment to try to reach neighbors and family and friend and unchurched people from here on out this year? Raise your hands. Amen. But if just those that do that, we will be one of the most exceptional churches in evangelism in South Florida, percentage-wise. And so I want to encourage you, let's make this year the year of our Lord. And it could really, 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 really be our last. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. I thank you for our dear ones. I thank you, dear God, for their attentiveness. I do pray that you would not only let them hear the audible sermon, but dear God, your mighty spirit would drive home the spiritual sermon into their spirit, into their heart, into their life. And I pray, dear God, we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we know, Lord, that the Spirit is the one who interprets the word to us. And I ask you, please, dear God, right now to speak to hearts. There are some here that have encrusted callousness and lostness around their heart. I ask you, please, dear God, to knock that away, to pierce their consciousness with your presence and your convicting force. I ask you, please, dear God, that we just see a revival of genuine life-changing conversions. Father, let there not be another Sunday that someone doesn't get saved here. I want to ask you right now, maybe there's someone here, and maybe God right now is answering that prayer. Maybe right now God is knocking the crust off your mind, your heart. The callousness, he's shaving it off. Listen to him. Respond to him. Accept him. Oh Lord, please come into my life. Oh God, please forgive me. Dear Lord, please cleanse me and live through me. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to extend our invitation now and want you to do business with God this morning. As we do every week, we extend an invitation. And maybe God's speaking to your heart about being a part of this local New Testament. It is God's will for you to join a church. And by the way, while I'm thinking about it, last Sunday I mentioned that we are not Protestant, and we had some response. Well, if we're not Protestant, then we must be Catholic. No, there's more than two choices. We are evangelical. In fact, I was sharing this with one of our members this morning, and she said, Pastor, we're OG. We're the original gangsters. John the Baptist. No, we are not Protestants, and neither are some of our other sister denominations like Christian Missionary Alliance and others, because we did not protest the Catholic Church. The Protestants would be the Presbyterians. They would be the Lutherans. They would be some of the others that, as a history, they protested the Catholic Church. We've been going our route. Catholic Church has been going their route. And we've not tried to change them. We've just tried to win the lost world of Christ. Can I hear an amen? That's what where the evangelicals are. And that's what we are. We're evangelical. So from here on out, when you go to the hospital and they say, are you Protestant or Catholic? Say, evangelical. Okay, amen. Okay, let's stand together and sing, and you come as God speaks to your heart. Praise God. I want to remind our men about the prayer breakfast tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, and also our studies. If you want to sign up for our studies in the lobby and get the books, they're available. And then work days on our property. We won't be working this week, but we will be working Friday and Saturday of next week. So I want to encourage you to come and join the sweat fellowship. Have a great time together. Let's bow for a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Father, again, thank you for our dear people. And oh God, oh Lord, please, please fill this church this year for your honor and for your glory with baby Christians and God seekers and lost people. Please, dear God, and for our people here, I ask for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'll take fresh control of each and every one of us and give us a winsome invitation to the lost. And we just want to tell you we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is John Demery, and I serve the First Baptist Church of Stuart through our outreach ministries. Our outreach ministry is about saving lives for eternity. It's also our way of getting involved with people outside the walls of our church. Some examples of some of our ministries are, one, the Feast of Plenty, which at Thanksgiving we serve our community with free Thanksgiving meals. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus through a musical performed by our choir, and it's also free and open to the community. At Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by serving our community with food and games and fellowship, and of course, the Word of God. We are currently raising money for an indoor athletic facility, which will serve our church, in our school, and our entire community. And then throughout the year, we participate in other activities such as golf and fishing and hunting and women's and men's Bible studies. We also offer a program for young mothers called MOPS. The goals of our ministry is, of course, to reach people to come to the love of Jesus and to encourage them to join the family of God. And we ask you, won't you come and meet our family?
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and High School Dual Enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There is a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stuart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stuart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stuart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why life group Bible studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible, and how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning life group Bible study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult life group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this life group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our life group Bible studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m. and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
Hello, my name is Colleen Highstone. Our church is a family, a fellowship, and a body of believers. We study God's Word together, we worship together, pray together, serve together, rejoice together, and support each other. If I had to use only one word to describe our church, it would be loving. I count myself blessed to be a member of this church. See the faithfulness of our church family in supporting our many church ministries, which includes this weekly radio broadcast. As the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our church motto is connecting people to Jesus and one another with love. Our church members live that out every day. If there's any way we can serve you or your family, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'd love to meet you and invite you to join us on Sunday mornings as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The music and worship ministry at First Baptist Church of Stuart seeks to reach beyond the Sunday morning platform by engaging students and volunteer musicians throughout the week with opportunities to enhance their relationship with Jesus. During the week, young student musicians are taught how to engage in worship with instruments and vocal techniques. Wednesday nights are packed with musical variety, ranging from some of the greatest hymns of the faith being sung during our Wednesday night Bible study to participating as an integral part of our celebration choir practices, to being a crucial member of our Sunday morning worship team rehearsals. At First Baptist Church of Stuart, our celebration choir is blessed with bringing special music throughout the year on Sunday mornings and during holiday musical presentations during Christmas, Easter, and Independence Day. Our worship team has the opportunity to bring our congregation into the presence of the Lord every Sunday morning and through several yearly outreach events. The music and worship ministry at First Baptist Church of Stuart is actively seeking new Christian musicians and artists to join one of our many creative teams as we grow together in the presence of the Lord. With so many opportunities to be involved in this facet of ministry, we would love to have you on our team.
Hello, I'm Nick Bennett, pastor to senior adults here at the First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. Our ministry is based on 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Our ministry presents monthly covered dish lunches for our seniors at 12 noon on the second Tuesday of each month, seasonal one-day trips to historic sites and events in Florida, evangelism opportunities through our nursing home ministry featuring our Good News singers, Terrific Thursdays in the month of June, Renewing Body, Soul, and Spirit, and every Sunday, Bible study at 9 a.m. and worship at 10:15, and then on Wednesday evening, prayer and worship at 6 o'clock p.m.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stuart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart.org, and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options, and then there, if you would check Radio Broadcast Supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, "Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stuart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.
Testimonies feed my faith. I love to hear about miracles. Do you too? Well, you can listen to my show. I'm Rhett Palmer. It's a new day every day at 7 a.m., 3 p.m., and 3 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 on your FM dial.
If we're going to tackle any subject in Scripture, which we do, we regularly tackle one subject after another, we're not going to do it using our 10 favorite verses. We're not going to go to the internet and say 10 verses on and study that. We're going to dig until we find them all.
This is Sam Chess from Grace Emmanuel Church inviting you to join us for the Grace Alive radio program every Friday and Saturday at 2 p.m. and twice on Sunday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. right here on WCNO.